Welcome in, it's SB Pod. Stanford Steve back fresh as a daisy off of Vegas red eye. I saw your tweet late. I just smiled and shook my head and thought, man, there but for the grace of God go I. We've all been there. McCarran International, Sunday, late. A lot of really bad decisions have been made. A lot of favorites were teased.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people thought they met a stripper that really liked them. She didn't. It's fine. But you're sitting there. Maybe you're still hungover. Maybe you're in the clothes you wore Saturday night. And you're sitting there, and all you hear far away in the distance is... And you're like, God, just please someone kill me. Or you had a big week.
Yeah.
I asked the big man, how'd it go? Your answer?
Great.
That, let me tell you what. I've known this man a long time. He's not prone to hyperbole. If he says great, he doesn't mean it was decent. He means it was great. And I'm going to let people wonder what great means. It's none of their damn business. But great?
Great. It picks went 2 and 3 in the column. That's all anybody wants to talk about, but I don't care because there's plenty other games that you say.
Yes, there were.
And... you know, group and I got together, started crunching some numbers, decided to go with a bunch of overs in the big games. TCU made us sweat for that one, but we got there somehow. We just decided to listen a little bit on Sunday. And, you know, everybody was talking about how Buffalo and Kansas City were going to score 90 points. And we said,
maybe not.
Maybe the clock will run a little bit, and we'll go low.
I love that. What a weekend in sports!
Oh,
I mean, look, I don't know what you dabble in. I don't know what you like, but in any direction you turned, it was everything that makes sports great. And I felt like Saturday. It started Friday. Philadelphia Phillies fans, and I know they're not your favorite team. And for you, it's sort of, can there be a winner for you if the Braves and Phillies are playing? No, I understand. You're rooting for a meteor to hit the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
We have a close mutual friend that works at ESPN who loves the Phillies with all his
more than heart. Anyone in the world.
It's of all the people I know that love a team, this guy loves the Phillies more than anybody loves any team. And so I root for him. And what's great is my mom has met him when she's been up at ESPN. And so she's texting me about him. I told him his name's Judd. His name's Judd. And mom's just like, oh, Judd's so happy. I'm so happy for Judd. I mean, that's the level of when somebody's mom knows.
Yeah.
A guy she met once loves the Phillies. But that half inning, Steve, when Hoskins hit the homer. When Harper hit the homer, I sent a note to Negandhi. I sent a note to Judd. I'm like, just whatever happens, you guys have that half inning for the rest of your life. It's a perfect Friday. You're playing in the playoffs. You're playing against a hated rival and everything goes right. And then you end up, I don't think, trailing again and winning the series. Who knows what happens with San Diego? Don't know. But everything starts Friday. Then Saturday all day. In every direction. It ends with those maniacs in Petco celebrating their cathartic win against the team they wanted to beat more than anybody. And they did. And you got Tennessee in the middle of the day, 16 years in the making, how it all happens. Fort Worth's like, did you see us? Yep. Pretty good comeback. I could name a zillion. You're at a book, right? So you got them all on. What kind of day was that?
Insane. I will say the number one outfit you saw walking around was USC football jerseys and Dodger hats. It did not end well for those folks.
That was
it
a,
did
that was
not.
A, That was a Saturday for fighting on and the Dodgers.
And they thought, I mean, the way those games got out, they were all in. They were hooting and hollering, getting after it. And then sure enough, by the end, there's only a couple Padres fans. I don't even know if they're fans. I think they just had them. And that's who was there at the end. And all the Dodger fans in SC, they went home with their tail between the legs. But just everything, like, you know, we got our friend Tom, who's, you know, up in the Seattle scene. So we have that one on a side TV. And every time I look up, there's just two outs in an inning. No matter what time I looked up in that Mariners Astros game, two outs, nobody on. I'm like, man, this is how many more arms are there? So that you had that just as a laugher, just being like, is anything ever going to happen?
No.
The Bama game was just because it was kind of split in the book. And just to see the way it started for Tennessee and them still be able to get it done after Alabama claws back, that showed me a lot, man.
Both ways. I don't know how many teams could go into that place, fall behind by three scores, and take a lead.
Yeah.
I don't know how many teams are built for that. But Bama, you got to kill them.
Yep.
Then you got to bury him in concrete. You got to sink him in the ocean. Yeah. And then you got to put a nuclear bomb on him to kill him.
Then you got to spend the night to make sure they are gone.
Right. Sleep on top of it just in case any rustling comes from beneath you. And all credit to Tennessee. Look, in winners, I picked Bama. And I'm thinking, all right, I'll take the push. I mean, I know the number by the time the game went off was, I got a decent number for what we gave on TV. It's neither here nor there. I just feel like it's really rare that the world lines up to take another side opposite Bama. My perception was that a lot of people had Tennessee. I get it. Hooker and those wide receivers, and that team's real.
Yeah.
And the issue for them is that now, all right, well, now you got to deal with Georgia. And already people are doing the bookkeeping here. You go, okay, Georgia beats Tennessee. Bama beats Georgia in Atlanta. Now all three have got one loss. Now what? I don't know because here's what's interesting. And David Pollack mentioned this, Steve, last week on the show. This is the first time ever in the playoff where Pac-12's got somebody. You still got UCLA who's unbeaten. Mm-hmm. There's still a path for USC.
Yeah.
Hell, there could still be a path for Org. I get that they got trucked to start the year with Georgia, but if other people are allowed to lose, then in a deep Pac-12, you should be allowed to have a loss and still be in the conversation. But still, you've got an unbeaten there. Big 12's got TCU. They're like, all right, we're here,
mm-hmm.
right? We're unbeaten. We're top 10. ACC's got Clemson, and the SEC's got 19 teams. So, I mean, because in that little round robin I mentioned, I'm sure Ole Miss fans are looking around going, Van Paul, did you miss us? No, I didn't miss you. I just don't like your schedule. I don't like your schedule. But it's interesting just how many people feel like they're in the mix. And Tennessee certainly is. Where do they play Georgia? That's Athens, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's a different ask than being at home. What a scene in Knoxville. Holy crap, what a scene.
Yeah, that was some pent-up energy for 15 years, and they let it all out. And you know what? They should.
No doubt. I mean, that's what sports are. You all you get for a decade and a half is L's handed to you. Mm-hmm. Well, when it's your turn, brother, you absolutely have to Cadillac it. That's why, like the Hoskins thing, I'm bouncing around here a lot, but I know in baseball you're not supposed to pimp a homer. That. Have fun. Although.
That's what was different, man. He doesn't show any emotion, Hoskins.
Ever.
And he lost it when he hit that ball.
I think I felt like every bit of energy that was in every single one of those people in the stadium, somehow it was like a movie, like a Ghostbusters movie, where all their energy
just got
put right into his body. And he was like, this might be really bad. I don't care if y'all think I'm an asshole, but I'm going to slam my bat down. I don't care. That's sort of Baltimore, sort of Delco. I don't know. The Philly people can let me know how we did there. But Yeah, that was great. I'm all in on the Tennessee people going nuts. You want to chuck the goalposts in the river? It's fine.
Yeah.
When you play UT Martin Saturday, just everyone has to go for two. It can be like when you're 8 years old and no one can kick. It's fine.
Did anybody go to work today in Knoxville?
No. No. It's like Buffalo. Tuesdays in Buffalo is always my favorite idea. Tuesday after a Monday night game in Buffalo, or just Mondays in general. I just always wonder, like, what do they do? What time do you? I think people just sort of show up when they can.
I'm going to log in from home around noon.
Just Zoom. We're good. There's so many things, man. Last week I had I have some stuff written down, but I want to ping pong around just because it's stream of consciousness. One of my least favorite things that we do in media is say, a lot of people are saying this. If it's just people on Twitter, I never know if it's people whose opinion I value or not. Mm. But the complaining about the baseball deal, the playoffs, like what?
No.
I get that it's 162 games that you grade yourself on, and then it's a sprint. And this is what it is.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that there should be a greater value for home field? For having won a division? You mean more so than being able to sit there and wait? If you're the Dodgers, for San Diego to go play three games in New York and have your pitching set up exactly the way you want it?
Mm.
There's supposed to be a better advantage than that? And you had a 1-0 lead in the series? What am I supposed to cry for you? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Baseball's a goofy game. We all get it. The best teams don't always win. In fact, if the Yankees lose on Monday night, and right now, as you and I talked, they're in the middle of a rain delay. But if they lose, then that means you lose the Mets, the Braves, the Dodgers, and the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's how it goes. In our meeting, it was suggested, well, that means Houston's going to be a big favorite. I'm going to say, great. And what's that mean?
Yeah. Who wants to be a favorite right now?
I then proceeded to tell a story about a young lad named Scott.
Is this the A's story?
In 1990. I'll tell it again. Clips notes. A's a minus 8 billion favorite against the Reds. I pounded the A's for the series. Took them game one. They lost. Doubled down game two. Lost again. I don't have any of this money to begin with. Let's double down game three. Cool. Another L. Let's push all this non-existent money that we don't have into the middle again for game four.
They're not going to get swept.
That's a sweep. And I don't know what we're going to do about this one. This is before there were cell phones and stuff.
Lord.
So you could just duck the calls and your phone would ring and you just wait for the answering machine tape to start going. And then you'd hear a voice.
Mm.
Give me a call, Scott. Nope. By the way, just the way life comes full circle. The guy I'm talking to on this pod was with the guy I lost all that money to this weekend in Vegas. Because our book back in the day, let's just say things worked out pretty well for him in life.
Mm. Yes.
Because he's a mensch. I did the best I could on trying to sort out that number back in 90. And he just mostly let stuff go.
Mm.
Which he didn't have to do.
No, hey, that's pretty fortunate.
I will say, I've told this story before, and this is you got to cosmically try to get right. When I was in a position to be like, listen, I can sort out that 1990 mess. Just I'll send it. He's like, we're good. It's like, no, just for me. Let me send you. And then, the guy's worth nine figures.
Mm.
He doesn't need.
No.
Now, it might have been a decent five-figure chunk, if we're being honest. Okay. I didn't have 50 bucks. I'm down 30 grand or something. It was a bad scenario.
Mm.
I guess what I'm saying here is don't hammer the favorites
in
baseball. And this postseason, we see why. A smart man would have figured out by now I should be able to retire by just pounding all the dogs this postseason. I'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that smart a guy. But anyway, what else from Saturday is there that you saw that you think's important? The Michigan was the one unbeaten versus unbeaten that they just gave it to Penn State, ran for 400 plus, which was nuts. I didn't see that coming. I liked Michigan in the game, but I mean, like that. Yikes.
Yeah, that was First of all, Saturday, I just want to say this. Thanks to Dwayne Colucci and the guys at the Rampart.
Colucci.
Awesome. Put me up and taking care of stuff that we did there. And Scott, I texted you. I knew it was going to be a good day. I go down to the book. Obviously, you know, we got to get the 9 a.m. action in out there for the noon Eastern games. And who's standing right there in the book but Uncle Brent Musburger?
You are looking live.
Hey, laddie. That's awesome. I'm like, this is just a sign that this is going to be a tremendous day.
I said that. I said it had to be a good omen. Good omen. What other omen could it be? Unless it's some people are, what is it? What does he say? Some people are something and other people are saying, you got to be kidding me. How do I not know what he says in the beginning and the opening of Bad Beats, whatever it is. That's great.
Yeah,
and it was great.
And that's the cool thing about going out there too, is obviously the West Coast flavor and views of opinion, knowing that we had SC Utah coming up and everybody being pretty confirmed in their feelings of the game going in, and then USC just comes out. And I mean, I just Caleb Williams, there's not a guy like him to me. I don't know. I agree with that. The way he sets things up, the way he holds on to the football and creates positive plays when it just doesn't look good. And the way he just doesn't, you can't get him on the ground. He always gets out of it.
Richardson at Florida is a big guy and he's got crazy speed, and he put it on display when they were trying to dig out of that incredible hole that LSU put him in. And he's tough to get down, but it's different because Williams is trying to extend plays, not to take off and run, but to look around and chuck it to somebody.
Yeah.
And the arm talent just jumps off the screen. Oh. But I had Utah in winners. I didn't get there either. They won the game. I'm glad they went for two. I loved it. I mean, Whittingham's like, it's sink or swim. What Lincoln Riley's doing in the last 2 minutes, not calling timeouts, is beyond my comprehension. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you let them bleed that clock like that, because you have to know they could try to go for two here.
Yeah. I said there's no doubt in my mind when Utah got that ball. I'm like, if they score, they're going for two. Like they've had enough of dealing with 13.
No question. Will it sink or swim? I'm not.
Yeah.
What do I want? What do I want? Him on a short field? And then if we push, then it's just this bull 2-point conversion game. No, let's count on our guys to get two, and they do. Mm. I just don't know how is he not calling timeouts? What's more valuable, having three timeouts with a under a minute or a couple of minutes and no timeouts? Clock stops every time you get a first down. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not complicated, man. Talk about this in life. I don't care what you do. I talk about this among our show staff all the time. I feel like we do the hard things well. The difficult things our show group does well. Don't screw up the easy stuff, right? Correct. In life, if you can do the hard things well, don't trip on the easy things.
Mm.
And that to me is someone's got to be, they got 75 dudes on their sidelines waving towels. Oh. You got to have some guy in the headset going, we need a timeout, coach, after this play.
Yeah.
Got to call our timeouts. I just don't get it. Mm. And it's not exclusive to him.
No.
I was on with my buddy in D.C., Kevin Sheehan. You should listen to his podcast. If you like podcasts, check it out. Mm. And he was asking me about Saban. He said, he thought Saban should have run late. I agreed. I would much rather seen Alabama attempt the field goal to win the game as the last play of the game. We either win or lose. And if we don't, we go to overtime. I'm not giving Hooker any time to make a couple throws, because they could beat us with a field goal. And that's exactly what happened. And his point was, and I laughed, but it's not unreasonable, is that they're so rarely in a situation where it's got to be strategic.
Yeah.
Where we're trying to figure out clock downs. Mm-hmm. What's the perfect sort of scenario here? It's just so rare that that's anything you have to figure out. He and their program do all the hard things better than anyone, as we know. That's why they've been on this 15-year run.
Mm-hmm.
Could they have handled the end game better? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's a little nickel dime here, but I mean, I think both situations played into why Bama and USC lost games.
Yeah, it's just crazy to see Bama when you go back and watch, like, you know, what do they have, 17 penalties?
And Bama fans, I get it. They weren't all great. But, man, you guys crying about the officials has the entire SEC saying, really? Really? This is the lane we're in. Really? Okay. Mm. Okay. Because, yeah.
It also just shows you how spoiled Alabama fans are. Like, when you get down to it, it's unbelievable to me.
Right. It's at some point you could have stopped the guy that scored 5 touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I mean, but I don't think the officials draped themselves in glory. I don't think they were awesome.
No,
but I mean, you know, complaining about it.
Correct.
Here's the thing. You guys know the deal. There's a path for you, and you guys will get on that path, and who knows? Mm. Get to Atlanta, beat whoever's there, and you'll be in the playoff because you're you, right?
How do you feel if you're like a Mississippi fan where you see Bama lose? Now you're jealous of Tennessee because it's something you want to do, uh-huh. But now you know you're getting Bama with their last stand mentality, you know, like that. That's the stuff that
you're furious is what you are.
Yeah.
They
always usually play earlier in the year too.
Yep. They're normally an earlier October game, I think, unless I've got this confused in my brain.
Yeah. That's what,
but now the bear's been poked and, mm-hmm. and now, as you say, last stand Bama is just, I mean, that's a Mad Max Fury Road scenario where You get the best of them. Ole Miss, though, whatever. Fine. If you're good enough,
you got your shot.
Yeah, exactly. Just because they're mad, so what?
Yeah.
Meet them in the middle.
Mm.
Rise to the level, man. Like there's no easy here. Everything worth having is on the other side of something difficult, as the old saying goes. So this just makes it a little more difficult.
No doubt.
Before we move on, one quick thing to mention, the NBA is back. Get ready for the season to tip off with the Low Post. Zach Lowe talking basketball with the smartest people in the business. Now, twice a week, follow the Low Post wherever you're listening to this podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
NFL. I have a list of teams that are 3-3. AFC South is Tennessee and the Colts are 3-2-1. For the purposes of this conversation, I'm just asking you about 3-3 teams.
Okay.
Of these teams,
mm-hmm.
who do you believe has the best chance to actually end up being good?
Okay.
Miami, New England, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Green Bay. The Chargers will be 3-3 if they win Monday night. They're favored. For the purposes of this, I'll throw them in there. Atlanta, San Francisco, Seattle, and the Rams.
Mm.
That's what we've got, 3-3. Now, wait, did I not say Tampa Bay? They're on here too.
Wow.
You got 3 MVP quarterbacks, Brady, Rodgers, and Jackson, that are 3-3. Baltimore is the first team in history to have 6 double-digit leads in 6 games and only win half of them. I believe my blind spot for them. I say it all the time. Mm-hmm. I believe they're good.
Yep.
But at some point, you got to win football games, fellas.
Yeah. The game's 60 minutes.
Got to win the games. You got to win the games.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I mean, your record's you are what your record says you are. Okay. Then I guess that means Minnesota and the Giants are both good. They're 5-1. And the Giants, you go, I don't know. Well, they just beat Green Bay and Baltimore. Those are two of the teams that are 3-3.
Yeah.
They're what their records say they are. Who of those group, and it's a bunch of them, I don't expect you to remember them all at the top of your head.
No, I got them in front of me.
All right, who's good? Or who will end up being good? Let me stop. Who will end up being good?
Baltimore. Taking my shot with Cincinnati. I think they're still, you still have that offense that you saw last. I mean, they're another one. I mean, they go down early yesterday and they fight all the way back on the road.
Against the Saints with Dalton, Olave, no Thomas. I mean, no Lattimore. I mean, look, in the NFL, just figure out how to win. I get it, but.
Yeah, the Niners will get it right.
My concern is just their defense looked like hell on wheels, but they lost so much on it. And
correct.
It's not like they're coming back next week. Mm. That's my concern. Atlanta just did what they wanted against them.
Yep.
I don't know if anyone in the NFC West is good.
Huh.
Seriously.
I'm with you.
Good. Seattle? How the hell is Arizona scoring 9 points in Seattle? What's that about? That offense is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, we're fans of Cliff, always have been back to the Lubbock days.
Yep.
And they extended everybody out there. Gave their quarterback a ton of dough, extended everybody. Like, this isn't what anyone pictured.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what Tampa Bay and Green Bay are doing. I don't know if where you were yesterday. I don't know what you saw Green Bay. They were bad. They were bad.
No, that
or maybe, you know what? Maybe the Jets are good. I don't know. Got to give
them
credit.
The Jets are better. The Jets are better. That's obvious.
Clear. Quinton Williams is a monster.
The Packers don't have difference makers at wide receiver. They don't. And he can be as accurate as you want, but at some point you got to create easy throws, and that comes, you know, with talent at the wide receiver position. And I was reading a Mike Sando thing on The Athletic. He did a great job breaking down the teams at the bottom of wide receiver salaries, and the Packers are right at the bottom. It's like the Packers, the Texans, and the team that's different. Because they have all young guys that are about to get these new deals, I think, are the Colts. But, I mean, you saw their capability yesterday. And
Campbell had a touchdown. The rookie Pierce had a touchdown as well. And Pittman had the most catches of anybody in the NFL yesterday, 13.
Yep, played against him. That was fun. And it was just nice to see Matt Ryan upright. You know, like that, everybody, you know, I didn't watch the Colts-Broncos game, but everybody talks about Matt Ryan. I'm like, when I watch the clips, he has no chance. The guys are in his face.
Right. It's a little bit like Wentz. I mean, you could crush Wentz all you want. No, I mean, yeah. I pick the best quarterback there's ever been. Brady, I guess, most decorated. If he's on his ass looking in the moon and the stars, not completing passes.
Well, I thought last night was very telling with the Eagles and Cowboys.
In what way?
Dallas got some fight. And I wasn't sure how that would go because I thought Philly would dictate and put one on them. But they you talk about clawing back, man. They showed me something.
They get back to 20-17 from 20-0.
Yeah, on the road in that place and that city.
But if I may, I feel like Philadelphia showed something too, because after Dallas went on a 15-play drive to get within three, Philly goes on a 13-play drive to answer. I think Dallas is, you know, they get Dak back this week. I mean, he hasn't. It's not official, but he's playing.
Yeah.
I mean, connect the dots here. The dude's playing. And that defense that they have is just absolutely sinister. So those are two really good teams. I mean, how about the NFC East? It's just amazing how quick things turn.
Crazy.
A couple of years ago, Washington is a 7-win team, wins the division.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia could have 7 wins this week. It's not even Halloween.
And the Giants, they just did a good job of hanging in there the whole game.
In
there.
That's half the battle in the NFL. Can you give yourself a chance in the fourth quarter to win a game, or give the opposition a chance to lose it?
They also kick field goals too. You know what happened? They made them. You know what happens? 3 points. Those add up over the course of 60 minutes.
No, field goals suck. Never go for a field goal. Only go for first downs. It's on the sheet.
I do want to say two teams, one college and one pro, that their wins epitomized their culture. And that's right. Kentucky football is going through a bunch of injuries. They've been able to rely on their offensive line the past couple of years. They lost three guys to the league, injuries all over. Got a couple difference makers at receivers, lost those guys, and they just come out and got after Mississippi State, who's a more talented team. There's no doubt. I think Kentucky will tell you that. And they go up to Lexington, and Kentucky just wears on them. So I just thought you can't count that out, and I think that stuff means something. When you have a foundation and program, we talked about that last week with the portal and people leaving and what these new players are coming into. Kentucky has a foundation instilled, no doubt.
That's well put, and I just would echo that just to say with what they have in Coach Stoops, you've got a ball coach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole thing that went back and forth with Calipari and whatever. I think you do. You don't need me to preach to you about it, but I hope that they appreciate what he is, because he's a culture builder and he's a winner. And I agree with you. Saturday was a game where not many people thought they were going to win it, and they did.
No. And then in the pros, the Steelers. Like, that's just the Pittsburgh win, man. Like, they just not going to stop, lose a quarterback, got a lead, and they outgutted Tampa. And Tampa and Green Bay, man, you talk about blow-up situations. When you look at past teams and when they're on the cusp, like things that are happening, there are some things that are sticking out, and they better be careful. Look at their – Tampa's going to be fine because of the division, but, like, the Packers, maybe they want to go on the road in the playoffs nowadays. I don't know the way they've been beating at home. But those are – I mean, every – that's going to be everybody's story. What's wrong in Green Bay? What's wrong in Tampa Bay?
Well, I mean, they're reasonable questions to ask. Yeah. You have legends at quarterback, and they're not good on offense. I said on Sports Internet, and look, Brady's personal life is personal life. I refuse to mess with that, man. It's just,
yeah,
everybody's got stuff, you know, and whatever, you know, the speculation is, whatever it is, it's a bummer between adults. If he's going to get divorced, it's incredibly public. I can't imagine trying to live your life in a public eye with that being speculated about. It looks like an entirely joyless exercise. Not once has it looked like it's any fun to be part of this year for Brady. And you think about, you know, he was out and then he wasn't. And I don't know, man, it's just crazy how, I just wonder, if you're sitting there on the bench looking around Sunday in Pittsburgh, you're going to lose this game to the Steelers, and you're thinking, why am I doing this? Mm. I wonder, right? I mean, you're a human. That's the thing, that you never lose sight, whoever we're talking about. The most famous, most wealthy, whatever. Everybody's a human being. Everybody's got stuff. And I just can't imagine when you're looking around on a day like that and you just think, I don't even have to be doing this.
Mm.
I mean, they got my measurements for my gold jacket, you know? I don't know. It doesn't look fun. Winning cures everything, and they're in a division that's not great, so it might be fine in the end.
How about Zappy?
You got a quarterback controversy up there?
I saw that floated around last night. I'm like, these people just can't stop. It's unbelievable.
Dude was at Houston Baptist 2-3 years ago. Then he goes to Western Kentucky, and now here he is quarterbacking for Bill Belichick. Who tied Hallis. Cool to hear Bill talk about Hallis. No joke.
How about the guy trying to give him the ball?
One of the great moments in the history of the world. What are you doing? I don't want the ball.
Get out of here.
I'm all set.
There's still time on the clock.
We're all set. Him talking about Hallis was cool though. After the fact, it's just,
yeah.
I said on SportsCenter, when he's interested in the topic and has respect for the topic, you know. And then starts talking about my dad coached with this guy, that guy. It's just, I've been in situations where I've heard him speak, and I've said this before, he's so engaging, so interesting, charming. It's in him to be that if he chooses to be. So it's always kind of cool when you get that insight. I have an update, or at least a question, because I'm going to give a shout to the Sandy Pony crew from Bethany.
Mm-hmm.
People down there are very concerned we're not going to have the cinnamon donuts.
Oh.
People are willing to make the move and be the mule. But I reported that we believe are set.
They should be en route, have them in hand, delivery to your house tomorrow.
There you go.
Okay.
Now, I would just say to the Sandy Pony crew, by the way, best donuts in the beach. If you're anywhere near there, coming to Dewey next year. If you're anywhere near it. Yeah. Breaking news. Well, allegedly, a birdie whispering.
Oh, okay.
I probably shouldn't put their business.
Couple Dewey sources you got out there?
I know some people that know some people. But if you guys want to bring some back extra, it's fine.
I mean, yeah. I'm
sure we'll find we'll get rid of them. But we appreciate everybody that's willing to be our
absolutely
our seasonal donut drug mule. thank you for that. One last question on the way out. Halloween's right around the corner. I think you told me this. Do we have our costumes? We know.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. We have the little guy was going to be Batman. Now big brother's going to be Batman. Little brother's pissed.
Oh boy. Oh, he just took it from him. That's not right.
It's a different version. There are many Batmen. There are a lot of different Batman incarnations.
Mm-hmm.
So big brother is just a different version. Little brother, like, he's actually pretty much unfazed.
Remember what was that guy's name? Adam West wore the light gray Batman leotard. I don't see that Batman anywhere. I see them all sculpted frames with those kind of Batman now.
Yeah, no, like the
bring back gray, Adam West. Bring him back.
The gray pantyhose and the booty shorts. What villain's this dude catching? Come on. Look at the guy. Come on, Penguin. Come on, Joker.
Batmobile was like a dart.
Yeah, the guy's running around in booty shorts. Yeah, he's got a belt. Like, what are you even doing? He's got like a little
belt.
Didn't
have a muscle in his body.
No, he's just got a belt on. And he just chucks a little. Come on. This guy didn't have any weapons.
Yeah. Robin's running around in a Speedo.
Well, that's a whole other deal.
Yeah.
Just saying holy this and holy that.
Pow!
We used to watch that.
I did. Every episode I've seen of that Batman.
Yeah, it was good times.
Adam West is the real Batman.
Yeah, well, all right.
I have one thing to say.
The floor is yours.
There's not a lot of teams better to beat when you're trying to stop a losing streak than going to South Bend and getting a win. And it was as bad a football game as there is, but there were some guys that just said, we're doing this. And I was happy for the guys at Stanford to go into South Bend and beat them, because it's been a long, long couple seasons. And to be able to go do that was another, like, on top of all the stuff Saturday with the top ranked teams, like, here I am. I'm like asking the guy, like, hey, Corner TV, can we get Stanford Notre Dame? He's like, oh, yeah, sure, absolutely. And I'm just sitting there just glued to it while everything else is going mayhem, you know, checking in, taking my notes on my phone. And that place, man, you have to go all the way to the end. Like, I'm not saying they're in Alabama's here. We talk about, you know, trying to put Alabama away. Notre Dame in that stadium just always finds a way. And it was good to see it finally not happen.
Shout out to Coach Shaw and Stanford football.
Absolutely.
All right.
Terps, another win.
One more to get bowl eligible. Thinking of Leah, not sure how the injury news is going to come out on that, but we got, you know, get one more. And
I will
levels
say this.
To this. Everybody wants to, everybody's, you know, some people are playing for titles. You know, you try to grow a program, you try to take steps forward, like Steve's just talking about. Yeah, you'll say what?
And I don't know if prior Maryland teams win that game yesterday or Saturday.
Maybe not.
They had some guys come in that were ready and stepped up and made plays. They haven't had that in years past.
You were watching the Stanford game. It's no surprise as the Tennessee-Alabama game's going bananas that I had it on the deuce watching the Terps and the Hoosiers in Bloomington.
We might have had the other side of Maryland in that game.
Understood.
And they were covering the whole time. And Maryland finally gets it to 11. That drive by Indiana to go down and cover was unbelievable, with tip balls, guys laying on the ground, catching passes. It's an all-time. Like, it's not going to be on Bad Beats, but, like,
because Indiana was the right side. They were covering the entire game. But let's just say if you had them late, you needed a series of improbable events.
They got them.
And they did. There were back-to-back multiple ricochets. Literally, what Steve's describing happened.
It was
people lying on the ground catching the football. You're like, you got to be kidding me.
And then the next play, the same thing happened.
It's fine. 38-33.
Just
play the fight song.
Yeah.
See you for homecoming, College Park this week. How about let's support these guys, huh? Let's kind of come out and support them. You guys complain about this, that, and the other thing. It's a win to be bowl eligible. They're favored. It's homecoming weekend. Come on. There we go. Support the squad.
Get to College Park and walk in the stadium.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be there, and I'm walking in.
How about we do a little meet and greet inside the stadium so people have to come see you in the stadium?
No, thank you. It's fine. I'm one of you. I'm one of them. They don't want to meet and greet me. I'm one of them.
They can't get access up there. Don't worry about it.
No, but it's not like that. I'm not worth meeting or greeting.
Just go en route.
Everybody have a great week. If you want to know how Steve did in Vegas, he did great. Hope you have a great week.